All right, Matthew chapter number 27 tonight. I want to talk to you for a little while this evening. The Lord be my helper. Young folk, you ought to think about what's been said tonight. You ought to mull it over in your mind. Think about giving your life and your heart to Him. While you're turning, I'm going to pray real quick. Matthew 27, for those of you that's not there, while I pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for the good, sweet spirit that I felt in my soul. Father, I do want to be more like you. I want to be more like you, Father. I want to be used by you. I just want my last years of my life to count for your glory and your honor. That's all. That's all I want, Father. You know, I believe these others here with that same desire, their heart. I ask you to take our young folk and make spiritual champions out of them. Get their heart while they're young, doing their life what needs doing. Father, we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. Help me tonight as I preach. Give me clarity of thought and clarity of speech. Father, open hearts. You know, if you don't speak to the heart, it does no good to speak to the eardrum. If you don't go to the heart, please speak to hearts this evening. We'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to begin reading in verse 27, read down through verse 32. And then I'll try to just give you a little something and we'll be through tonight. In Matthew 27, verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him, led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, him they compelled to bear his cross. And so here, as we proceed a little farther towards Calvary, we see many things that's happened to our Savior. None of them, in no situation was He treated fairly. Prior to verse 27, Jesus has been betrayed by Jesus, forsaken by His disciples, tried three times by Jewish trials, if you want to include Annas, and twice to Caiaphas. If you call those trials, been tried three times, found innocent. They sent him to the Roman government, tried twice by Pilate, went to Pilate. Pilate found no fault in him, went to Herod. Herod found no fault in him, came back to Pilate. Pilate found no fault in him. And so three trials by the Roman government, no fault in him. Peter, one of the inner circle of the three, denied him. Three times. He was lied on by the Sanhedrin, scourged by Pilate, delivered to be crucified to the Roman soldiers, and now in our text, they're going to mock him as king. They're going to mock him as king. They're going to make light of our Savior. The one that the Bible says is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they're going to make a mockery out of him. And he's going to allow it. The one that could have called 12 legions of angels and just been delivered like that. They're going to mock and make light of. And so as we come to our text, there's some things before I get to really... I just want to really talk to you for a few minutes tonight. I don't know if we would maybe call this preaching. I don't know, or teaching, whatever you want to call it. But I want you to notice in verse 27... what it says, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. The whole band. In other words, there was a group of soldiers, and they tell me the common hall, it has several names, but really what it was in Pilate's courtyard. It was like an open pavilion, so to speak. It was just an open place outside where maybe a roof on it or whatever, but that's where they are at. And so the soldiers that have Jesus, they call all the soldiers, the whole band in. They're all going to get in on this. And I don't know, that kind of jumps out at you, the whole band. But you think about it, the wicked world is united to do wickedness against the cause of Christ. The world hates Jesus. Now, they'll adhere to a God, but they do not want to adhere to Jesus. And so, we see as we come to this verse 27, we see that evil actions will unite evil and wicked people. Be sure about that. That ought to speak a condemnation to us, because if evil actions unite wicked people, then we ought to be united to do good. I mean, where do we see God's people united at in our text? They're scattered everywhere. But here's the wicked, and even the soldiers, I guess, that was off duty. The soldiers maybe that was in the barracks or wherever they stayed, they got the whole band to come out. Now, one of the writers say that whole band, if you looked at that and studied history, a whole band would have been somewhere between 400 and 600 soldiers. Can you imagine 400 to 600 soldiers spitting in Jesus' face? Can you imagine what kind of spittle was on his face when they got through? One fellow I heard preaching say this, based on the number of soldiers was there, by the time they quit spitting in Jesus' face, his whole head was covered in saliva. Now, I don't know, that's probably right if 400 to 600 soldiers make up a band. And so we're seeing some things here. We could really talk about that a little more, the unity of evil and the lack of unity among believers. And so we see some truth there. They began to mock him as a king. As a king, they began to mock him. They stripped him. And really, I'm going to get ahead of myself. We can mock Jesus today. We can mock him today. We can strip him of some things he rightfully deserves. They stripped him of his clothes. We can strip him of his deity. A lot of people try to do that. A lot of people try to strip him of his virgin birth and belittle that. They try to strip him of his power and say the miracles were not miraculous, but there's an explanation. And on we could go. There's a lot of folks that try to strip Jesus of what's rightfully his, just like the soldiers did. You can be sure about that. But then I want you to notice what else they did. They placed some things on him. And can I say Jesus gets blamed for a lot that he's really not in? He gets blamed for a whole lot of things. They placed a robe on him, a scarlet robe. One place says purple robe. There's an old song you sing when I was a boy. They called it the scarlet purple robe. They felt like the writer of that song did, that scarlet and purple was just a different name for the same color, maybe a little scarlet in with the purple. But it's called a scarlet. They put a scarlet robe on him. Then they put a crown on his head, a crown of thorns. Now the thorns is the result of the curse. And can I tell you, one of these days, the earth's going to be redeemed from the curse just like man is. That's just how it is. The lamb and the lion are going to lay down together one of these days. Little children's going to play on the snake holes, I believe the Bible says. And it's going to be a different world one of these days. And can I tell you, that thorn, Jesus took that curse upon him. That curse of the earth, I think, as well as the curse of mankind. You can do with it what you want, but that's what I see there. They put a reed in his hand, and here's what they did. They bowed their knee and mocked him. They didn't say they were mocking him, but they bowed their knee and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And what they were really doing was mocking our Savior. They was mocking our Savior. They were mocking His claims to be a king. That's what really was. And can I say today, these folks still doing that? I've already said it, but I want to say it again, because that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight, mocking the King of Kings. I believe there's a lot of God's people that mock Jesus as King. Now you just bear with me. I'm not trying to be harsh, and I understand He's not. You can say He's in His high priestly role now, being His King role when He comes back. And I understand what you're saying, but He ought to be the King of our hearts tonight. He ought to be the King. He ought to be the Lord and the Master, the King, whatever word you want to use. He ought to be the supreme authority over our life. Y'all could say amen to that, couldn't you? I mean, you do believe He ought to be calling the shots in our life. It ought not be us saying, here's what I want to do. The song Sister Grace just sang a minute ago, it ought not be our life and what we can do with it and what our plans are and what our things are and our little toys and our little play pretties and all that kind of stuff. It ought not be about that. It ought to be He's the King and we're His subjects. He's the Lord and we're His servants. Or He's the Master and we're His servants. And so that's how it ought to be. And most of God's people will tell you that. If you talk to them, they will say to you this, He's my Lord. I mean, I talk to people all the time. They'll say, Jesus is the Lord. He's my Lord. He's the King of my life. He rules and reigns and controls me. But really what they're saying, even though they're saying that, what they're really doing, they're making a mockery of the Lord. Just like they're really right where these soldiers were. They're mocking the Lord. We mock Him. There's a several ways we mock it. We mock Him when we mock and make a fun or belittle or mock His followers. I don't know if you understand that or not. You better be careful how you treat God's people. I mean, you better be careful about that. Here's what He said to Paul on the Damascus Road. And He said, who art thou? This is Paul talking. And He said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus has already been crucified, taken to heaven, but who Jesus is talking about are those saints Paul is persecuting. And I want to say to you, let's just turn over to Matthew chapter number 20. Just back a page or two, Matthew chapter 25. Maybe if I can find it in verse 38, if you would, and we're here at the judgment of the nations. Some have a different interpretation of it, but I'm going to say the judgments of the nations. And then in let's get verse 37. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we then and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, now listen what he's saying. I understand this has tribulation truth to it, or I understand that, but you just bear with me for the principle. And the verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, what's your Bible say? Ye have done it unto me. If you've done it to my brethren, you've done it to me. You do realize we make up the body of Christ. He's the head, we're the body. You do understand that. We're baptized into the body at salvation. We become a member of the body. And so as we mock and belittle and insult and judge God's people, what we're really doing, we're insulting, mocking, and judging God. We're making a mock. We say He's our King, and then we mock His body, belittle His body. Oh my, we need to be careful about that. We can mock Him I'm reminded, it comes to my mind about Elisha. And he was going down the road, and I'd have to look it up. I believe it's in Kings, 2 Kings. And these children were saying, oh thou bald head. And here's what Elisha did, he cursed them. and a sheep are come out and killed, I believe, 42 children, if I'm remembering right. And here's what I'm trying to say. You better be careful about mocking God's people. And I might just go far as to say this, especially a true man of God. I'm reminded of Moses and old Korah and Abiram, and I can't remember the other one's name, but here's what they said to Moses, "You're taking too much upon you. You're trying to be somebody. There's some other holy people around here. You need to back up and take a back seat." Moses said, "Let's see what God will do about this." And you know what? What happened? The ground opened up and swallowed Korah and Abiram and the other fellow, I can't remember his name, swallowed them alive. They went to the pit alive. Oh, I'm saying to you today, you better be careful how you treat God's people. You better be careful about making a mock out of God's little children. Hey, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know where they're at spiritually. You better let God take care of that and quit mocking them, because if you're mocking them, you may be mocking God tonight. You may be making a mockery of the King that you claim to be part of your life. You ought to be careful about that. And really, that's all I guess I want to say on that. Here's what the Lord said. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's right. So we don't have to worry about that. He'll fight our battles. But then I thought too, how else do we mock God? How else is it? And that's really what I want to preach on tonight. How is it we mock God as King of our life? I think we mock Him when we say, "You can be King of my life," but then we refuse to do what He says to do. I really believe that. And so I just want to take some Scripture tonight. I want to just look at them, and it's Scripture maybe that's easy preaching and hard living. I'm not trying to say it's not. I'm not trying to take lightly your spiritual battles and your spiritual struggles. But I want us to start. We're going to go from the back to the front. That's how God gave it to me, and that's how I'm going to give it to you. Revelation chapter number 3. If you would turn, most of you know where I'm going tonight. And here's what it says. I know I'm in chapter 3 of the Revelation in verse number 15. It said, "I know by works that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Now that's what the Lord said to the church at Laodicea, the last of the church ages. He said, "I would thou wert cold or hot." He said, I don't want you to be lukewarm, but I want you to be either cold or hot. Now I want to ask you, is He King of your life? Really, is He in charge of your life? Are you serious about this song Grace sang just goes right along with what I'm preaching tonight so well? I really wonder, is He Lord of your life? Here's what He told you to do. If He is, if He's King in your life, if inside of you He's the King and you're His subject, He's told you this. He's given you a command. Don't be lukewarm. You be cold, or you be hot, or you be cold, but do not be lukewarm. But I want to ask you this. How many of us have just blown that off? Have we not even made jokes about it? You heard jokes about it before? Just being lukewarm. I've just heard Christians make so much light of that. But here's what the King of your life said. I want you to be hot, or I want you to be cold. I don't want you to be lukewarm. And we just take that so lightly. Is that not so tonight? Really, are we not mocking Him as King? We say, "Yes, you can be King." We bow our knee and say, "You're King," just like the soldiers did. But then, when it comes down to Him being the King and telling us what we ought to do, we do what we want to instead of what He wants to. That's right. What we're really doing is making a mockery out of Him being King and Lord and Master of our life. Amen and amen. Well, the first one is lukewarmness. I want you to go to 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. I'm just going to run through these. I've got 12 of them to share with 14 of them to share tonight. I'll quit when God says quit. Here's what it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 15. All very familiar scriptures. Here's what it says. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now I want to ask you, what are you going to do with that if he's king of your life? Here's what he said. Let's read it again. He says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now I want to ask you, is he really king of your life? Is he really Lord? Is he really master? Is he really the spiritual authority? You're the subject. You're the servant. What he says is what you do. Here's what he's saying to you. Oh my, should this not get every one of us tonight? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How about your video games, young people? Is that of the world or is that of God? Oh, you say you can't take that away from us. Hey, I live till I was 15 years old without a video game. And we got some kind of old silly, I believe they called it Pong, just a little old simple nothing of a game. But here's what I'm saying, you don't have to have video games to have a happy life. You don't have to have the things of the world to have a happy life. And if you do, those things do cross your path. You don't have to fall in love with them. They don't have to be primary in your life. What about them old video games? What about them sports stars? What about them ball games? What about them television shows? What about all them that music that's ungodly? What about those things? He said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Yet we've fallen in love with the world. I'm saying to you today, we're making a mockery of His kingship. That's what we're doing. We don't even realize. We don't even grasp it. We're so spiritually dull. We do not lay hope to the truth that we're mocking the King of our life. Amen. Oh my, He's give us instructions and we're not doing it. And then we think we're so spiritual. Oh my, what's wrong with us tonight? Let me try to go on. If I don't, Hebrews chapter 12. Chapter 12 and verse 1. Here's what it says. Wherefore seeing we also are compassed about so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How many of us have weights? I mean, just be honest with me. Dre, you're about the most honest fella in the church, I guess, right now. He just tells on himself, doesn't he? I mean, you might as well. You are what you are. That's right. Go ahead and hide your sin. See if God will bless you in it and prosper you in it. That's right. You ought to confess your faults one to another. That's what the Bible says. If you're around God's people, they'll pray for you and try to help you along the way. That's right. Here's what it says, lay aside your weight. Now you just pretend like these big, two big old dumbbells, about 20 pounds apiece. How silly would I be to get down on the starting block to run the race and have two big old weights in my hand? You say, preacher, it's not sin. I know it's not sin. But you've got people out on the spiritual race track right now trying to run for Jesus with big old weights in their hands. Brother Brian, they are running some. They're making a little bit of progress. They're not running like you read about this morning, Jimmy. They're not running to win. They're not serious about the thing. They've got things holding them down. And he said, lay aside every weight. Get it out of your life. Don't hold on to it. Don't have anything that slows you up for God. That's what he's saying. I'm stirred up tonight for some reason. Oh, I'm saying to you, we're balking the King of our life. Oh my. He said, lay them weights down. Put them down where you can run like you ought to be able to run. And yet we just keep the weights there. We just hold on to it. Whiskey trying to run, weighed it down. He's king of our life. He said, put them down. We say, yeah, you're a king, but we're not putting them down. My, we're mocking him. We're mocking our king. When he tells us to do something, we say, yeah, you're king. We're like the soldiers. Oh, yeah, you're king. Really, we're mocking him. We're mocking him. We mock him when we fail to obey what he tells us to do. I'll just throw this one in. Hebrews 10:25 says this, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what it says. As the manner of some is. So there's some, they're just coming on Sunday morning. That's the way I see it anyway. As the manner of some is. Here's what I think that means. When the saints assemble, don't you forsake it. That's what it says. Some say, I go once a month, so I'm not forsaking the assembly myself together. No, that ain't what it means. It means when the saints assemble, you be there. Don't you forsake it. Now, I understand. I know some of you have to work, and I'm not throwing off on that. Those who are on shift work and different things, and those that sick, I'm not that narrow-minded. I hope you understand that. There's a lot of folks, when the saints assemble together, they just don't assemble. They just don't come. It's just not important to them. Now, the king, the one they say is king of their life, said, forsake not the assembly yourself together. They say, yes, you're my king, you're my master, you're my lord, but they do not do what the master tells them to do. But he said, I do not want you to forsake the saints when they assemble together, and they do that and still call him lord. They're making a mock out of the Lord. What they're doing. Not much different than the soldiers, if there's any. Not much different. Oh my, 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 2:4 says this. I'm reading you things that you know. I'm giving you scriptures you could give me. I'm giving you scripture, but here's what the Lord said to us, 2 Timothy 2:4. I could get 2-3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. We got a bunch of babies out there now saying, he's my king. And when it gets just a little bit hard, they just collapse. They just give up. They just lay over and give up. And just, they're just whipped. That's just how it is. He said, endure hardness. It's going to be hard, but you endure it. You be tough. If I can say it that way. My, they're just a little old whatever. They just cave in. I will say, they're saying he's Lord. But he said, endure hardness, and they won't do it. And so they're making a mock out of their king and their Lord. What they're doing. But then verse 4 is really where my heart was at. No man that warreth entangled himself with the fires of this life. How about it? You entangled? You are you honest enough? Some of us so dishonest we won't even admit if we're guilty. That's the truth. We won't admit it. We know we're guilty and won't admit it because we're too dishonest, too proud to let anybody know we're not right with the Lord. You entangled? Well, preacher, I just can't get unentangled. Well, it said be unentangled. I guess you can. Would he tell you to do something you couldn't do? I just don't know about that. I'll tell you what I'm afraid. I'm afraid we don't want to be unentangled. We like being entangled. We like having 60 hours of work to do in 40. We like that. Some way it appeals to the flesh, some way. Oh my, and then we're too tired to serve God and we still try to call Him King of our life. Something's wrong somewhere. Something's wrong somewhere. You're mocking the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, it's got real quiet. I figured it would. That's right. I'm telling you, Lot. I tell you, he's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy to be king of our life. We want our young people to sell out. The old people won't sell out. What's wrong? We're working with young people. Go home, mom and dad. Tell them when they get home, don't you worry about selling out. You get the education, you do this, you do that, and I'm not against them things. But my, the Lord ought to come first in your life. Oh, they're mocking the King of Kings. And we think that's so horrible. And we're right there with him, with them a lot of time. Well, he says, stay unentangled. 1 Thessalonians 5:22. You want to turn over there and say, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's what it said, just abstain from it. Abstain means don't have a part of it. You say, preacher, it's not wrong, it just looks wrong. Bible said if it appears wrong, stay away from it. You hear what I'm saying tonight? Hey, it says if it looks wrong, just has an appearance of it, stay away from it. You ever seen a building and maybe a window or something? You look at it, you just know something ain't right about that. You can go down at the mall and they've got a store and they've got signs of these models out on their outside, and they're naked is what they are. And they're advertising their product. But can I tell you, I look at that and it has the appearance of evil for me. I don't know what you think about it, but it appears evil to me. You know what the Bible told me? To abstain from that. I'll tell you what y'all do. Y'all turn your head when you walk by them kind of places. Oh my, you can go down there at the West Town Mall. You can go by these things and it looks like some kind of hippie store, some kind of this or some kind of that. It has the appearance of evil. I'll tell you what y'all do, abstain from it. Stay away from it. Honor the King of Kings of your life. Oh my. Here's what I'm trying to say to you. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Colossians 3:2. Trying to go fast with you this evening. I want to help you. Here's what I want to do. I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you. I want us to be what we're supposed to be for God. I want us to really make Him king of our life. I want Him to be in charge of your all's lives. You say, preacher, you can't make me do that. I know I can't. I can just preach to you the message God give me and pray the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Oh, my. Here's what it says in Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Where's your affection? The King of your life, of your spiritual life, said, set your affections on things above. Is that too hard to understand? Figure out. This is just what he said. He said, set your affections on things above. Why is it God's people who say He's King of my life say, I'm not going to obey that, but I'm going to set my affections on things of this life? Why is that? Can I tell you what you're doing when you do that? You're mocking the King. You're making a mock of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You say, now listen, that's a little strong. Well, say what you want to say. When you say He's King, He tells you what to do. And you say, no, thank you for the advice, but no, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm just telling you what I think. I think you're making a mock out of the King of Kings. I wouldn't call Him the King of my life if I wasn't going to try to do. I understand we may struggle and fail, but we ought to struggle and fail trying to do what He tells us to do. Oh my, he said, set your affection. Hey, he didn't say you old people set your affections on things above. That's not what he said. He didn't say just those in the 25 to 35 age group set your affections on things above. Ben, he said, he was talking to all of us. He's talking to you, Ben, and you, Blake, and you, Josh, and you, Brady, and you, Nick. And he said, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. Oh my, that's what the King of your life told you to do. Oh, let's not mock Him. I don't want to mock Him. I want to honor Him and respect Him and love Him and worship Him and cherish Him. Where's your affections at? Is He King of your life? Is He King of your life? On and on. On and on. We could go. Ephesians 4:32. Hold there with me. Here's what the King of your life told you to do. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, Do you hear that? I don't think we have a problem here, but maybe we do. God put it on me to share it with you. I don't think we do. But here's what the King of your life says. If you're saved and you're thinking He's leading and guiding you, He said, forgive him one another. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You say, I just can't forgive him. I'll tell you what will help you. Remember how much He's forgive you for. That's right, and that'll help you forgive other people. Isn't that right? I mean, I've never had to forgive people for more than what Christ forgive me for. That's right, I know how I treated Him. And He's forgive me. And why can't I forgive somebody that does some little something to me instead of puffing up about it, getting angry with it? Here's what He said. If He's King of your life, here's what He's told you is His subject. Forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what the King of Kings. And if you're saved, ought to be the King of your life has said for you to do. And if you don't do it, you're mocking and making fun of Him. And shame on you if you like that. Amen. Amen. Well, stirred up tonight. We ought to forgive one another. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I love Romans chapter 12. It takes a heavy load off of me. Here's what Romans chapter 12 says. Y'all know it. I could probably call on the preachers in here. They could probably quote the first two verses. Probably could get real close if it didn't. They could probably quote those verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's not enough. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Here it is. Holy. Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Here's what He said, Ben. Here's what He wants. He wants you to take this old body of yours, this old skinny body of yours, and you can think of 100 things it can't do, but He wants you some more to get on your face before God and say, God, here's my body. Here's my body. I give it to you. You know what He said, Ben? That's your reasonable service, not unreasonable. That's what the King said. I want your bodies. I want your bodies. I want you to give me your bodies. A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto me. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then He says this, and be not conformed to the world. In other words, the world's pressuring you to be like they are. The world's not passive. Not on God's people. It's pressuring you. The world's not going to be satisfied till you're like it is. That's how it is. They're pressured. They're conforming or shaping you into what they want you to be. But here's what the King of your life is saying for you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh my, you need to be transformed that you may prove what's that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, here's what I'm saying to you. The King said this, you give me your body and don't be conformed, but be transformed in your mind by the renewing of your mind. And when I get the mind right and I have your body, I'll be ready to use you, see. And so He wants your body tonight. Oh, there's a lot of folks say this, I'll give Him a little time, I'll give Him this. But when you say, no, my life is my life. You're not getting my body. I don't want to go to a foreign mission field. I'll use that as an example. I want my body to stay right here. I'm going to live right here and I'll serve God right here. And you know God has other plans for your life. You're not yielding. You're not surrendering your body a living sacrifice. Here's what you're saying to the King. You're mocking Him. You're saying by lip service, I'm saying you're King, but you're not King. You're not worthy to be King. You're not fit to be King. That's what the soldiers were saying. That's what we're saying many times. Here's what I'm trying. Excuse me, I'm trying to get across to you tonight. We mock him when we mock his saints, but we mock him when we fail to do what he says to do and claim he's king of our lives. If we're not going to be obedient to him, I'll tell you what we ought to do. We ought not call him king or lord or master. We ought just say, hey, I'm my own master. I make my own decisions. I'm afraid. There's a lot of God's people, they claim him for Lord. He ain't a bit more their Lord than anything. There may be some here that's not your Lord. You're your own man. You make your own. I've had people brag to me about that. I'm my own thinker. Well, I tell you what you ought to be. You ought to be a Bible thinker. You ought to let God tell you how to think. Oh my. Here's what Romans 12 says. Look at Romans 17 through 21. This is what the King's saying to you. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. My, don't we like vengeance? Somebody says something to us, we won't get back at them. Somebody does us wrong, we won't do them wrong. Somebody humiliates us, we want to humiliate them. Isn't that how we are? Isn't that what the flesh wants to do? Sure it is. Verse 19 says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I'll tell you what, do young folk, let God fight your battles for you. Just give it to Him. You say, well, they're talking about me. Just let God take care of it. Hey, they're not going to talk about God's children too long. God's not going to step in and take charge of that thing and straighten it out. Oh, here's what I'm saying. Verse 20, let's go on. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Where are we at? We say he's king of our life. But we render evil for evil. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Isn't that what we do many times? And we say, he's Lord. He said, hey, let me settle it. I'm your king. I'm the king of your life. Don't mock me. I'm telling you what I want you to do. You render good for evil. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. That's what he's saying, do. And vengeance is mine. I will repay. Not a might repay. Not a may repay or possibly. I will repay, saith the Lord. He's going to take care of it for you. Let Him fight your battles for you. Oh my, I'm afraid. We call Him Lord, and He ain't a bit more Lord than anything. We're mocking Him. We call Him King, He ain't a bit more King than anything. We call Him Master. He's not a bit more our master than anything. Got all kinds. I started to go, Jimmy, over where you, maybe you read it this morning, last night. Take up your cross, follow me. Luke says, take up your cross. You know what it says? Daily. Every day. Take up your cross daily. Luke 9. I've got it right here. We could look, but I don't think we need to. Luke 9:23. Take up your cross daily. We'll take it up 3 days out of the week. We'll take it up Sunday and Wednesday. Maybe special meeting week, we'll take it up a few more days. Then we say, he's our King. He's the one we look to and listen to. He's the one we obey. We're mocking. We're making a mockery of His kingship. To say He's our King and refuse to obey Him. Take up your cross daily. Follow me. Do you know every one of you have a cross? Do you know you can't be a disciple if you're not a cross bearer? Can't be. Just it. You ought to read Luke 14 sometime. Just get a hold of them truths. There's three things He mentions and He says, if you don't do those, you cannot be my disciple. That little phrase, if I'm not mistaken, is mentioned three times in that chapter. You cannot be my disciple. You cannot be my disciple. Here's what I'm saying. We say He's King of our life. He's the Lord. He's the Master. Whatever word, the spiritual authority, if you have it that way. And yet He tells us all these things for us to do. And we just take them. And every one I've mentioned, it's not taking a rocket science to know what He was trying to say. You didn't have to have a theologian explain it to you. Very simple. Just very simple truths. And you say, I don't know what the will of the Lord is for my life. I just give you about 10 or 12 of them. I just give you 10 or 12 of them. We could go over to Matthew chapter 6. I believe it's chapter 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That's what it says. I don't know if you're seeking the kingdom of heaven first. I think what that means, God comes first. God comes first in our life. Oh my, well I can't put God first because of this. I can't put God first because of this or that. I'm just telling you what He said to do. I'm telling you what the King of your life said for you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Let me just go over there and read it to you. Matthew chapter 6. Seems like I might need to do that if I can find it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, I understand the context, I understand the time, I understand the apostles, the 12 apostles had a little different life and calling than what we have. I understand some of those things. I understand we're all not full-time service. But I want to say this, you ought to be putting God first in your life and the work of God, and He'll work out all those other things. That's just how it is. You say, I want to be a good husband. Put God first and you will be. I want to be a good daddy. Put God first and you will be. I want to be a good neighbor. Put God first and you will be. That's how it works. And that's what He told you to do. Here's what I'm asking you tonight. Is He King of your life? Is He King? If He is, are you mocking Him by disobeying Him? That's the burden of my heart. Now, you can mock Him other ways. Burden of my heart's mocking Him through disobedience. Are you disobeying Him? I want you to turn to one last scripture, and I'm through tonight. I'm through. Luke chapter number 6. Luke chapter number 6. And I appreciate y'all giving me liberty to use King and Lord and Master as one. I know theologically there's a little difference there. But for the sake of my message tonight, I believe we can put those together and not do damage to the Scripture. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 46. Here's what's said. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is He really King of your life? If you really want your life to count, He has to be King. There's no other way, and we have to obey what He tells us to do. No other way, church. And you can play church, you can play whatever you want to play, and you can be a good person. But if you want to be a godly person, you want your life to count. You've got to acknowledge Him as King. And you, if He speaks, you must be obedient. And you must line your life up by the Scriptures. And you're going to have to quit playing around. I wanted to go to 2 Corinthians 6. I skipped over that. Come ye out from among the world. Be ye separate. We're the most worldly crowd of believers I believe I've ever seen. And I've only been on planet Earth 6 years. I can't imagine what those 200 years ago would think about us today. We're as worldly. Some of us can't wait to run home, turn on the worldly television set. Some of us can't wait to run home, turn on the internet. And whatever it is the world's got a hold of you with, We're here tonight and we can't wait. And if the preacher preaches 10 minutes too long, we're upset. All he's doing is dragging it out. And he ought to just say what he needs to say and sit down, let us go. You know I'm telling it right. There's a crowd out there like that. But let me ask you this. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Is he king of your life? Are you making a mock out of him? Are you mocking him? These little things I've mentioned tonight, I know in my heart, in this congregation, there's many of us that's come short of that mark. And I know this too, it really doesn't disturb us that we've come short. We've done it so much, we've got callous to it. Gotten callous to it. I know that. I know that. Some preachers talk about gospel heart, and people's heard the truth so much, and they've resisted so much. Just say all you want, preacher, it doesn't affect me. There are people like that. And maybe you're here, but if you're serious about serving God, if you're serious about it, and you claim Him to be King of your life, and in charge and in control of your life, you ought to do what He tells you to do. Let's bow our heads this evening. Sister King, just play softly. I don't know. I don't know if anybody needs to pray. I'm just preaching to you what God gave me. I'm just trying to preach to you what God has given me to preach to you. It's on you now. It's on you. Done my part as best I know how. How about it tonight? Would you let Him? Maybe He's not your King. Would you let Him tonight? Would you let Him?